and welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
Are you sure? And Mark Mulcahy.
Yes. I was like, what are we doing exactly today? But usually I throw that into the intro, but okay, I don't want to give it away. It is Memorial Day weekend, though, and we are honoring the people who have died, especially people who have given their lives for this country. And Mark, I think you have some direct family experience there.
Well, my dad was in the military for 22 years, and he served in three wars. Wow. And Memorial Day was a big deal around our house. I mean, the flag went up for the whole weekend, and he would go out to the graveyards and things like that. And so it was really, it really made an impression on me, just growing up around that.
Yeah, the servicemen of this country, and then. Also, we have two birthdays this weekend as well.
And they're not even yours or mine.
That's right. John F. Kennedy. Was that Saturday? Is that today?
Sunday,
tomorrow.
And then yesterday was Rachel Carson's.
Yes, who wrote Silent Spring.
And A Sense of Wonder, which if you haven't read that book, it's a wonderful, just beautiful book.
Yes, and it's a great opportunity this weekend to also remember the people who are serving right now, who are risking their lives right now, whatever our opinion or relationship with conflict or war may be. So, happy Memorial Day. Is that the right way of saying it?
And there's lots
to everyone
stuff going
out
on
there. Yeah. And you are listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are celebrating Memorial Day weekend. This weekend, perhaps some barbecuing going on. And today's show is all about how to roast that sweet corn. What's in season, how to pick it, how to cook it, how to store it. More on all that when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned. Baby, love me, yes, yes, you do. All the girls outside, yeah. Said she loved me, yes, yes, she does. Gonna show her tonight, yeah. She got the way to move me, Jerry.
She got the way to move me. She got the way to move me,
Jerry, baby.
She got the way to move me.
All right.
Tell your mama, girl, I can't stay long.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about what's in season with our wonderful ongoing guest once a month, Earl Herrick. And we have another special guest for you today. But Mark, you had a thought while we were going into the break about a show that was very related.
Well, you mentioned to also for us also not to forget the people who have served and are still here.
Yes.
And we did a great show on February 19th of this year with the Farmer Veteran Coalition. We've had them on a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful work. Yes.
Great program. Yeah.
Bringing war veterans from the Iraq and war in Afghanistan back to the land to both provide job skills in agriculture for aspiring new farmers, as well as an opportunity to heal post-traumatic stress syndrome and the wounds of the war by working with the land and touching the soil, literally. Mm-hmm. A very beautiful show. We had two, one vet in here and somebody who works with vets around that. That was February 19th. If you go to anorganicconversation.com or on iTunes, you can find in the archive that show. Very, very beautiful. Thanks for that thought, Mark. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. So, yes, what's in season this week?
Well, you know, what's in season?
What the bleep
is? you go.
Well, we have Earl Herrick in the studio again, our produce expert, beloved produce expert, who basically has created an entire life around produce, bringing produce to as a premier distributor of solely organic fruits and vegetables to the Bay Area and by now far beyond since 1988. Earl, really, your life in produce, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was able to actually end up getting a little part of land with 25 fruit trees on it, getting out there and creating a relationship with those creatures. And wonderful. I love trees.
Beautiful. Yeah. Life in produce. Really, you know every grower that you work with pretty intimately. We had some of them on the show. We will be looking at beautiful produce today again. So thanks for coming in the studio. Mm-hmm. And also with us, special guest, chef and holistic nutritionist, Sita Rani, Sita Bryan. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank
too,
you.
Sita.
Thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure to have you. You come from to food and to fruit from a completely different angle, really from food as medicine. When were you inspired to make that your profession? What happened in your life where you already all of a sudden realized that, wow, food is so important to me? What's the story?
Well, I made a career change when I was in, I think, my 20s. I started in, you know, in Midwest. My parents were both chefs by kind of hobby more than trade. They traveled around the world and they cooked in Indian temples. And so I grew up with the best food in the world. My mom would make dal or spanakopita or Chinese stir fry. And I kind of took it for granted because I didn't realize that all mothers didn't do that every night for their kids. So when I got to college and my...
Spanakopita. No, my mom cooked spanakopita four times a day. What are you talking about?
So I was really blessed. And when I got out of college and I was living in New York, my undergraduate degree was in advertising. So I was working at a marketing agency, and in all of my free time, I was cooking. And I lived in New York, and I'm not ordering out or eating out like everybody does. I just had so much fun in the kitchen. So some people had said
weird
to me, I know, right? You guys know nothing about that. Yeah. So somebody said to me, they said, why don't you do this for a living? And at that time, I was spending a lot of time at my other job in advertising, thinking about what my greatest contribution to the world was going to be. And I kind of felt like it wasn't going to be sitting in front of the computer, calculating files and all that kind of thing. So I left and I went to culinary school. And interestingly enough, I'm a vegetarian. My parents raised me vegetarian from birth. So when I decided to go to culinary school, it was going to be tricky for me to find the approach that I wanted because I didn't want to go to French culinary or CIA because I didn't really want to work with animal protein. It's just not my path. So I found the Natural Gourmet Institute. And not only are they almost entirely plant-based, but they have this food as medicine approach. So I learned about how the food interacts with the body, how bioindividuality plays into it, how your food can heal you and support you for longevity. It was really exciting, and it just took on this whole other meaning that kind of helped me to understand why I was so fortunate growing up with somebody who really understood how to nourish children as vegetarians, which a lot of people have concern about. So,
sure, yes, yeah. And we met you a few months ago, and we instantly loved your passion about it, obviously, for people who have not heard that by now, in your voice, really making it more than a career, it's really lifestyle, and it's great to have you on the show. So you add the nutritional component to everything we're talking about. Great to have you again. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mark, what's in season?
Well, what's in season? It's actually, that's an interesting question now because it's...
Oh, thank you.
All of us, it's Memorial Day weekend, right? So what do people, normally that brings up thoughts of cherries, that brings up thoughts of corn, that brings up thoughts of melon, and those things are in the market, and we're going to talk about them today. And yet, weather has played a big role in what's here, what's not here, the price of things in the marketplace. And so, Earl, can you give us a little bit of an update on, I think, several of our last several shows, we brought weather into
this.
Yeah,
really, I'm like sitting here thinking.
It's a weather show.
It's actually, yeah, welcome to the Weather Channel. No, but is it ever normal? Have you ever seen seasons that were completely pretty much throughout, by the book? And
well, yeah, they happen in a couple year stints, maybe two or three or four in cycles. And this year is wild, as we all know.
Yes.
What was it, 2-3 weeks ago, we had a week of, 90-degree weather?
Mm-hmm. Here in California.
Right here in California. And that was sandwiched between, prior to that, some cold stuff. And now what we got is cold. Now, cold out here is in the 50s and 60s. And it's been raining.
Yeah, for end of May. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
But that's unseasonal for it to be in the 50s. Yes. It at least should be the 70s. And,
right.
They're having tornadoes. All across the Midwest.
Yeah, you've just traveled, Mark. What's the growing season climate on the East Coast?
Everything's behind. Yeah. They had record snows and in several places, and so everything's behind. I mean, most of my clients on the East Coast, the Massachusetts area, or even further north. I mean, they're just
all over the place.
It's all over the place. The weather's just been crazy in every part of the country this year.
Out here in California, our weather comes from the northwest, generally speaking, and it comes in, and sometimes it hugs the coast, goes down the coast, and sometimes it penetrates the interior and gets the Central Valley. So you never really know. We can be sitting here on the coast and going, wow, we're getting drenched. I can call a grower in Fresno and go, yeah, it's good here.
Yeah.
So
we have a drought.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Exactly. Yes. So, it's one thing to have your experience immediate, and then it's another to get on the phone and be talking to the growers. Example, the storm that we've just gone through, it's mostly a coastal storm.
Sure.
Precipitation down the coast. In the interior, it's going to get very little. So I think there's very few things that are at risk.
But I asked you before the show, the quality is yet really exceptional in some areas. It's not, when you get early rain or late rain and it kills the petals or the flowers or the blooming tree, you sometimes end up with very little crop in that area to no crop. We were talking about cherries, and don't think we want to dive into cherries from the beginning, but we will see throughout the show, the crop actually is still exceptional. It's a really good year, and many, many varieties of vegetables and fruit that could have been affected by weather, but we got the right breaks at the right time. So overall, it's a good year for produce.
It is right now.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, and you still knock on wood because you have some, for example, stone fruit. You have some that some varieties that are actually past that point of risk because they're firm, and there's others that are still in that more delicate formation stage, and they're still at risk. If you get a hail, and hail is prominent this time of year. So
good.
The cool weather does.
And we
want to
dive into that specifically of what weather will do with those crops if you see something that you may have seen in the marketplace, but all of a sudden, now we know where it's from. Mm-hmm. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio, what's in season, Earl Herrick, produce wizard extraordinaire, ongoing guest here once a month, looking at what's in season, how to pick it, how to cook it, how to store it. And also Sita Bryan, chef and holistic nutritionist, with a degree in culinary arts from the University of New York. And actually, to be more specific, what was that?
The Natural Gourmet Institute.
The Natural Gourmet Institute in New York, now here in the Bay Area and part of this show today. Mark, Errol, what are we leading off with?
Well, one of the things, since you've been talking about weather, the cherry crop's late, right?
Actually, not so much. I thought the same thing. I actually thought we were going to lose a crop, and I call the growers, and we get out there, and everything's fine. It's just in between, so the crop is actually right on. If there are other products, though, other items like peaches, they're about a week late. So that other stone fruit, the little hardier stone fruit, that's about a week late. But that can easily get caught up in a matter of weeks some heat.
And depending on where you're listening to the show, when you're listening and where you're listening, you might still be a week away or two from really having the big crop coming in. But you should be seeing cherries throughout the U.S. at this point.
Well, California always has the first cherries.
Yeah.
So we're right about on time, and they are being shipped cross country. And there's some new varieties that are dynamite, that are very high quality, specifically one called a Sequoia that's been bred to replace the Brooks. It's a very firm, meaty, bright color, large, very, very nice cherry.
Huh. Let's try one.
Yeah, what did you bring us today?
Look what we have.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what I brought is a Sequoia, and it's the large, dark, We call it mahogany, and it's really nice color. I think it's got some nice meat to it.
So if I saw this, I would think it's a Bing.
Yeah, well, Bing
or Rainier or
the Bing is that archetypical cherry in our heads. When we think cherry, we think Bing, which is basically good size, dark red, almost black. And right. That's what these are. Now the other cherry is a Rainier, which is yellow, pinkish. It's a variety that is not always seen in the market because it is so fragile. You get rain on this, and bam, it gets brown right away, so it's not shipped a lot.
Or you said if the rain comes at the worst time, they split, right? Why is that,
precisely,
Mark? Why do they split? Oh, eating cherries. Earl, why do they split?
Well, they're so ripe. I mean, they're actually
bursting.
Yeah,
with...
they're vibrant, and then you get a hard fraction
and it just...
Bammo. It just cracks just like that. Right. Now, again, it has to be at that area. Now, sometimes rain will collect around the stem bowl. It'll sit there and it'll discolor. It'll start to rot around the stem bowl.
That's perfect. So when you go to the store and you... Let me grab one here. Oh, I have an entire bag here. But I want yours. So when you look at a cherry, of course, it's the vibrancy, the color, the perkiness, if they are damaged or pretty even. But then where the stem hits the fruit, there should not be a discoloration, because otherwise mm-hmm. it means there was some rain sitting there and it will rot there mm-hmm. much quicker than a perfectly colored
exactly.
all around cherry. And that's so interesting. Great.
And you want to be picking up.
Yeah. Well, now Earl just said that. I'm just repeating.
He's been shopping.
No. Yeah. I'm repeating. I am taking some classes.
Also, the color of the stem too. That's another big indicator. If it's vibrant green, you're getting something fresh. Yes. So,
and when they're split, they're perfectly fine still, flavor wise. It doesn't change, right?
Yeah. And not only that, some indicator of age is when they start to wither a little bit and shrink. Those are actually quite good still.
Yeah,
it's actually a little
sweet.
More concentrated.
That's right.
But again, if you're looking for the perfect cherry, that vibrant.
Yes.
And look where
the stem hits the cherry. Sita, what would you do with these? Like, you've tried them.
I did. I just tried them.
You've been eating
really,
for
really
the last
good.
15 minutes.
I eat professionally. It's the best job in the world.
I'm getting paid eating.
Honestly, the best way to enjoy cherries, I think, are raw, fresh
bag.
By themselves, out of the bag. Absolutely. Last summer, about this time of year, my husband and I took a camping trip, and I just devoured a whole bag by myself for breakfast. Because, they're kind of labor intensive. If you want to cook with them, you've got to remove the pit. So if you really want to make somebody feel special, remove the pit and make a stone fruit salad, because people know it takes a lot of work. It's not something that people usually enjoy in a fruit salad. So I think, especially for Memorial Day weekend, it's a really special thing to do. And you could do it with some orange segments to kind of fill it out and
reduce
your
color,
labor. And
beautiful.
The contrast
yellow,
is
red.
Gorgeous. Mm. Yeah.
How do you remove the pit? Is there an easy trick that you, where you
pop
like...
it in your mouth and spit it out? No.
Right, that one.
That really that, would be sure.
We call that rustic.
No, I'm thinking like unscrewing, unscrewing a pen and using that opening to just stab through something.
I really like olive
part
pitters.
Part of my class.
The MacGyver version of getting cherry pits out. There are really great cherry and olive pitters on the market now. I know OXO makes a pretty good one. My favorite one is by Dallas Switzerland. But it's got a little well where you set your cherry and then a little button, their little pin that pushes it
through.
Yeah, and so you can go through, a couple of cups of those in a few minutes and then slice them in half with your paring knife, and you've got the great base for your fruit salad.
Great. We'll come back to cherries. We'll take a super quick break. Stay tuned. You listen to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at UrbanRemedy.com. That's UrbanRemedy.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about what's in season with our ongoing guest about what's in season, Earl Herrick, produce expert extraordinaire, ongoing guest here on this show every 4 weeks, looking at what's in season, how to pick it, how to store it, how to cook it, what to do with it. And our special guest today, chef and holistic nutritionist Sita Bryan. Thanks again, both of you, for coming in. Mm-hmm. Before the break, we were talking about cherries and how to remove the pit. And Mark, you were saying there's a nail version.
The nail version is you take a clean nail and you hammer it through a piece of wood so that the point is sticking up, and then you just push the cherry through that, and it pushes the pit right out the other side.
Hmm. There's also the infamous paper clip. Choose the proper paper clip size for the cherry you're choosing, and
operate it.
Going from the stem end, go just plunge in and pull it out, and you'll get that pit most of the time.
Really?
It's rustic.
We call
it
rustic. Sita,
how much are these versions of removing the pit?
I'm like, tell us what happened if you use the nail version that Mark suggested.
And Sita, so you're saying that when your husband makes you that cherry salad and you see that knife on, you see that nail on a board on the kitchen counter, you're going to appreciate it less?
He's going to open his toolbox, honestly. He's just like you guys. Opportunity.
I know the drill version. No, but we're not getting into that. But Sita, how much are these, the ones you find?
They're not expensive. $10 or less. They're really expensive.
I would recommend going with one of those. But hey, and
so $12 or 25 cents.
Yeah, I mean, pen
okay. or
free, mm-hmm. and in your local
so
office.
In terms of sweetness, we had a chance to try these during the break. Really nice. Early in the season, still right. Mm-hmm.
The first varieties.
You were mentioning price point, what we can see right now. What's the range right now?
Well, Earl, you were mm-hmm. saying it on the break that the price is pretty much where it normally is.
Yeah, we haven't seen any drop yet. When you're going shopping, you're going to see it right around $10 a pound. Now, granted, that's a lot of money, but I'll tell you, some years...
For a pound.
Yeah. Some years there are no cherries to be found on the retail end. Now that price
that's organic cherries.
Organic cherries, and that price will drop after a holiday, which is normally the case.
Yeah.
Retailers try to get that top dollar.
But it seems like good organic cherries are always at least $6.99, sometimes mm-hmm. maybe $5.99, but all the way to $8.99. So it is a novelty, clearly.
And you'll generally see them in your produce department in either clamshells, plastic clamshells, or in a cello bag.
Yes.
And occasionally they'll put them out, merchandise them loose, and then you pick them up.
Are there some you pick places that we know of?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Out here in California, just east of San Francisco, there's a Stockton-Brentwood area. Historically, it's been a large farm area. Obviously, had some urban encroachment, but there's still some great cherry farms out there. They're going to open up, I think, next week. They try to make it for the Memorial Day weekend, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yes, and so if you go there, that's a much better price, right? You pay by pound or by hour? How does it work?
You either by pound or by container, and quite honestly, most of them are very forgiving. You can, one for me, one of the buckets sort of thing.
Sure.
At least to a point. And it's
so you're
great.
you're all red and blue in your face, and they say, did you eat any? No.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. And what's so great, you're getting out there in a farmland, and you're in an orchard, and it's a lot of fun. And you really understand how they grow on a tree.
Yes.
You might
spend $50 on gas, but hey, if you harvest enough.
But it's the experience.
Absolutely.
And if you're making each other a salad, like Sita was saying. Now, if you're here in California and you're going, gosh, $9.99 a pound, I don't know if I want to pay it. If you were in Michigan this weekend, then you'd be paying $14.99 a pound or $15.99 a pound for organic cherries. So
but even there,
you just
sure
save $5.
There, you pick places anywhere in the country if you look for it, just as a suggestion, as an alternative to the grocery store, maybe a little bit less expensive at the farmer's market, even less expensive if you pack your car full of neighbors and friends and head out to the orchard and pick yourself, which brings us to storage. Sita, you had a couple more uses of, you mentioned that beautiful fruit salad that lovers can make for each other, because there's a lot of labor involved of, well, not that much, but taking the pit out of a pound of cherries is real work. And you can taste that, of course, but how else would you integrate it?
Well, I love Earl's point that after the holiday is over, the price might go down. So that would be a good time for you to pick up some bags, pop out the pits and freeze them, because then you can enjoy them throughout the year. And this is a really handy way to stretch that nutritional value throughout the seasons when you can no longer get it fresh. And you could put it in your smoothies, like throw it in with some star anise. Nice. Cherry and anise is really sexy together, so it makes a nice...
Wait, what's sexy? I need to know those.
He's going to share that with everyone. Yeah. Cherry and anise, like star anise in a smoothie, would be really lovely. Wow. Really lovely. And Bon Appetit did this Italy special recently, and they were talking about affogato, which is like the grown-up sundae. So if you have these frozen cherries, you can throw them on top of vanilla ice cream with maybe a shot of espresso and a little bit of amaretto and some chopped hazelnut, and you'll impress all your friends. It's just a great way to stretch out the life of it.
What I love about cherries is the combination with chocolate. Cherries and chocolate for me as a German produce cup, man cup, is it reminds me of the German chocolate cake that doesn't exist in Germany. But there's something about that amaretto and chocolate that the cherry flavor, kind of tart, sweet in itself too, but really bringing in the broadness of the tartness of that fruit, very specific. There's nothing that tastes like cherry combined with the chocolate, and there's nothing that tastes like chocolate. So those two combined, I think, are beautiful. But I've also seen it in very savory dishes.
I remember
my grandparents cooking boar and adding like a cherry, mousse
for
on
sure.
top.
Yeah, with your heavier meats, it makes a really nice sauce. In fact, I'm doing a fundraising event at Stillheart Institute, and we're doing lamb chops with a cherry sauce because, like you said, boar, lamb chops, pig, that kind of thing, it really plays off nicely with kind of the bright sweetness and the intensity of a cherry. It's a good classic combination.
And it's great to hear, even though you favor vegetarian dishes, it's not that you say we can't eat meat and I'm not going to. You have expertise actually in those areas.
Yeah,
too,
well, my philosophy is that there isn't one diet that's right for everyone, and there isn't one diet that's right for one person for their whole life. So you just have to be in tune with yourself and what your needs are.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and my husband's not a vegetarian. In fact, he's a card-toting member of the Bacon of the Month Club. So we've got a nice little, definitely. In fact, I got him the membership. So.
Oh, that's open. Good for you.
Very good.
But that's an interesting thought that your diet, once you figured it out, might change in your lifetime for
and
you.
And it's okay.
Yes.
And well, because we get stuck on that. We get stuck. It's like someone says, well, you were a vegetarian.
Yes, later.
And it's been like,
I was,
I was a Democrat, I was a Republican, I was a whatever. Mm-hmm. So you mean that I can't change my mind or I can't change how I feel about food or anything like that? It's very interesting, labels we put on each other.
You might not believe it, but I have been a vegetarian for 8 years and then switched back to a piece of salmon and I was high for 3 days. My body needs animal protein.
The essential fatty acids, for sure.
It like completely changed it. So I kind of switched back, but I did not eat meat for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. I think also being able to be active in your diet it serves us in a lot of different ways.
Try different things. You know, I mean, explore.
Get you out of whatever ritual you're in. I mean, this is chaos.
Because as a nutritionist, I mean, that's, I think, being stuck to your five ingredients, to whatever your overall diet might be, vegetarian or not, or meat or fructarian. But if you get stuck to four pieces throughout the year or 10, in the world of thousands of varieties of, I think that will never give you that nutritional profile that you need.
Yeah, it really limits the nutrients you offer your body. I mean, people say eat the colors of the rainbow, and that's because every different color has a different set of phytonutrients.
When I get close, it seems to move away. How do you do that?
How do you what? Eat all the colors of
the rainbow?
It sees you. For the pot of gold.
Marcus rolling his eyes. No, can you explain that? I love that terminology.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we talk about macronutrients like your carbohydrates, your fat, your protein, and micronutrients like your vitamins and minerals. But then there are phytonutrients, which is kind of this newer classification that people are still learning about. But the best way to understand the kind of phytonutrients in a food has to do with the color. So carotenes are phytonutrients, and you see those in the oranges, the sweet potatoes, the carrots. And then you've got anthocyanins, which are in the blues, so like blueberries, and of course cherries with this red, it's like a red purple color. It has a whole different set. So I think if you're eating seasonally and you're offering yourself, I mean, right now looking at the studio, we've got the pink from the watermelon and the green from the honeydew. I mean, that's a rainbow right there. So
beautiful.
And you don't have to keep chasing it. It's right in front of you.
Eat the colors of the rainbow.
It's been captured.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
With us in the studio, Sita Bryan, chef and holistic nutritionist, and also Earl Herrick, produce expert, ongoing guest every month for the show What's in Season, where we'll tell you what's in season, how to pick it, what's a good price, where to get it, how to store it, and how to eat it, how to prepare it. Yes, Mark.
Well, I want to just finish up on that point about your choice and your diet and what's right for you. And we've said many times on the show, it's about your intention, right? And the intention behind what you bring to the food, what the food brings to you, what you're open to. This past weekend.
Well, I love that you are bringing this up. If you wouldn't have, I would have. Because Earl just said, or you just said, Sita, blueberries. Mm. And it totally prompted our experience, Mark.
So this weekend, we were invited. We were a media partner. This past weekend, yes. We were part of an event called Doofapalooza. And it's an event that brings 10 to 20,000 kids and parents to Jack London Square in Oakland, California.
Doof as in food spelled backwards?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
and that's the website, foodbackwards.com.
And Palooza Doof. As in?
Party.
As in party. So we had this idea that we would go out and we'd be to play with the kids a little bit, and we'd do a berry tasting. And Barbara, Earl's friend Barbara, made up these little, we looked like cigarette girls carrying around these
you did. I looked like a cigarette.
It was the skirt,
man,
though. But I think it was the skirt.
Didn't help. Yeah.
It didn't help. But it did go with my legs. But we were carrying around these little cigarette girl trays full of berries. Mm-hmm. And we did a berry contest where we all started saying how much we had the best berries in the world.
Yes, mm-hmm. Earl brought the most. I mean, you're really, your job is blessed, honestly. If you ever want to switch, I'll let you take over the mic. And the produce you are exposed to, you have access to, is life-changing.
Absolutely.
I can add a couple of stories to that, to Mark's story. But you brought the most perky, beautiful, sweet, at the peak of it, of their ripeness, blueberries, strawberries.
Firm, lush, round.
And raspberries. Right. And the strawberries, you know, you sometimes see in the store, like, really good, perfect strawberries. Yours topped even those. I mean, it's like, you know, you would, that's like a picture. It's like when you open a book and they pick this one strawberry out of 200 to take a photo to show, you know, that little bouquet of three, four strawberries. They were all like that. It's
and
just
what
the perfect,
berry did you sample?
Perfect strawberries. And I had the best berries.
Well, we did. It was taken to a vote, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I'm not sure it was.
So we were handing it out.
Either.
We were getting these reactions from kids. There, you know, who likes blueberries? And everyone was yay. And then I was asking, no, that's great, but who likes strawberries? And everyone was yay. And so I was in front. This little 3-year-old girl came up, African American girl. Hesitantly grabbed one of the strawberries, put it in her mouth. Her entire face lit up. She started smiling, came back, and grabbed two more. I was like, oh my God, that's just...
That experience of in-season produce is unlike anything else. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, and so we have some crops, but it's mostly corn and things that are going to kind of bigger companies. So when you get in a place and you try a strawberry that hasn't been shipped 1,000 miles or whatever, it's unlike anything you've ever tasted. So looking at what you can get at your farmer's market or in your CSAs, it'll change your food experience.
Yeah, and she was three. I really truly believe, like, in terms of strawberries, we changed her life. She will always recognize strawberries now because she had that amazing experience, even if they may not be quite as exceptional as the ones she had last week. But her relationship to strawberries changed that day, or was established that day. It was beautiful.
And Earl and I were sitting on the steps after the show, and this woman came up to us and she said, "Oh, I tried those blueberries. They were unbelievable."
Yes. You know, and she didn't like blueberries, right? Or she had some kind of issues.
Because I usually buy them at X store, and they're usually not very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she said, "This changed my opinion on blueberries."
Yes, and so.
Lots of those stories out there that weekend.
Yes, beautiful. And I thought my strawberries would win, but the message really was at the end that everyone was right. We all have our taste buds. There's no wrong decision. Whatever everyone likes, they like. And so, yay, let's hear it for all berries. It was beautiful.
There was one young fellow that we had asked, you know, how did it taste? What did you like about it? And this one boy was very hesitant. He goes, "They're round."
Yeah, exactly.
It was a blueberry.
So whatever brings us to food or whatever we like about it, it's all okay.
There you go.
You are listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
You're listening to What's in Season, and we'll be diving more into the world of melons. And Mark, what else is up?
And corn.
And sweet corn when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned.
Early one morning the sun was shining, she was lying in bed, wondering if she changed it all, if her hair was still red. If folks, they set their lives together, sure was it gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't big enough.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earl's Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earl's Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earl's Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about what's in season, how to pick it, what's the price point, what to do with it, how to sniff it out, where to get it, and how to cook with it and store it. With us in the studio is Earl Herrick of Earl's Organic Produce, the premier distributor of solely organic fruits and vegetables since 1988 here in the Bay Area in San Francisco and far beyond, and also Sita Bryan, nutritionist and chef. Great to have you. We were talking about cherries, and we do want to move on to sweet corn coming up next. But Earl, I loved your suggestion during the break. You were saying, you know, even if a pound of cherries, that's a lot of cherries, actually. It might not look like much, but there's other than the pit, there's very little waste.
Well, that's tummy aching stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Cherries, you don't want to eat a pound of cherries, maybe. Sita might.
and does.
Yes, and does. But it's one big handful might be $2-3, and it's a total treat.
Yeah, and probably even less. Yeah. So you're talking $1-1.5, and you have this great stuff, and it's satisfying, and what else are you going to do for $1-1.5?
Yes, and then we were saying, yes, if the price at the store is not what you would like, of course, there are farmers markets, and there are also some you-pick places maybe in your vicinity. So load up the car, go have that experience at the orchard, see how they're grown at least once, harvest a whole bunch of them, and then Sita, you have that great idea of you should take the pit out right before you freeze them, because
definitely,
it's almost impossible to go back to it. So take the pit out, and we had some suggestions of how to do that from 25 cents to $25. And thanks, Mark, for your suggestion about using a nail. And then you can freeze them, and there's almost no limit, right? You can just put them in a bag, Ziploc, couple months, 3 months, four months, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Stretch them to the end of the year. Great for any kind of fruit salad, even meat dishes. I remember a childhood full of kind of game with like a dark, heavy, buttery, rich sauce, and it always had kind of some kind of cherry part, either in the sauce or like a cherry mush on top. Beautiful, delicious. That's great. Moving on to sweet corn. This is Memorial Day weekend. Lots of barbecuing going on.
That's kind of a tradition.
Cherries would fall through the grill, but
you should, put them in a basket.
Should accompany on the grill?
Oh. You can, they have grill baskets, sure.
Lots of grilling of fruit in
there. I was just asking that to prompt you guys. I know that. How do you do that?
The grilled cherry festival that they have in Hamburg every year is probably what you're used to.
Yes, of course.
Grilled stone fruit is to die for. It is really good.
I get peaches. That's beautiful on the grill.
Nectarines.
Yeah,
how do you grill cherries?
Melon.
It's just what Mark was saying. They have baskets now that you can put right on your grill.
Metal baskets.
Correct, yeah. So if you go to like williamsonoma.com or something, you pit your cherries first, obviously, save yourself the trouble, and then throw them in these baskets over the grill.
And you're not going to put them on there for very long, because especially if you've got a hot fire. But what it's going to do is that grilling is going to bring out some sweetness from
the
cherry.
Sure.
From the sugar. So it and then...
Like what, a minute or so, half a minute?
It depends on how hot the fire is.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to burn them.
You'll see them change. Yeah.
And you want to take the pit out before too, or does it not matter?
I would take the pit out before. Yeah. I mean, that intensity of flavor is so exciting. You're just going to want to pop them in your mouth.
Yes.
Go to town,
and the problem
is
the pit gets hotter than the meat. The meat cools down quicker, and then you have this really hot center that you kind of don't want. So you want to make sure they get really hot, actually. You would be surprised how hot cherries get. Hot cherries.
So, and we're going to move on to corn right now.
Yes. Well, I just caught myself. Corn, sweet corn, barbecuing.
Well, you know, sweet corn, I mean, basically, the summer it's considered starts with Memorial Day and ends with Labor Day. Is basically here in the United States.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that what it is for Europe, but corn. Come Memorial Day, everybody wants to have corn. Even if there's hardly any corn around, they still want corn, right? And so, it used to be the standard that if you were going to buy corn, there was an old saying that you would take a pot out to the field and get it boiling, because you wanted to pick your corn and throw it in the pot instantly, because it would lose its sugar to starch. Those days really aren't with us anymore.
Yeah, there's a saying, if the corn ear drops to the ground, don't bother picking it up, right? Which is extreme, but what's the truth there, Mark?
Well, which was true. The corn, the longer it was off the plant, then it would turning to starch from there and lose its sugar. And that was even when Earl and I were young produce pups.
Yep. Early 80s.
But then what happened was they started developing super sweet varieties. And pretty much all corn you're going to get right now is a super sweet variety. And that holds its sugar longer. So even though you want to keep your corn cool and you still want to eat it, as close to picking as possible. You don't have to. You could still buy it in the store on Monday and eat it Thursday night, and it will still be full of sugar and really good.
So exactly. How do you know which variety is offered? How do you know if that's one of those very sweet varieties? Or are you saying that pretty much everything you find at the farmer's market or definitely in retail stores is that sweeter variety?
Any more, that's all you're going to find. And I think I really think it's our benefit too, because before they were developed, it was one of the hardest things to choose. When is it fresh? How do you know? Other than the outside color of the husk, you'd have to take your fingernail and press into the kernel. If it broke easily, you knew it was fresh. What's been developed is that super sweet.
If not, put it back on the shelf, right?
I know. It's one of those kind of little sly thing to the side. Ugh. Always get to know your produce vendor.
He can do it.
So now the super sweets are not only super sweet with high sugar, the kernels are actually plumper, bigger. And the experience is very, very good. So I don't know that you could even buy anything other than that.
So when you walk into the store, there's a big crate of corn. Sweet corn. How do you know, if you don't know exactly, if you're not there every day, when they came, how do you test the freshness right now?
Well, if they haven't peeled off the husk, and some of them do, that's the best indicator. If it's lost its vibrant green, you know it's got some age to it. That's the easiest. If there's any silk still left on it, how vibrant is that?
Common, Mark, with husk or with peel on the husk?
It depends on the people who are, what the clientele want, because the store is going to create it however the clientele wants. I mean, some people want to go buy four of them already peeled in a package, and then a lot of people here in the Bay Area want to just pick it out themselves and pull back the husks. One thing that I do want to recommend to folks out there is when you are going and you're choosing corn and you've taken Earl's suggestions of a nice bright green husk and then the silk that's at the top isn't all matted and brown, it's got a nice fresh silk, is that you can run your thumb along the length of the corn and find out if there's any dead spots in the corn. A lot of people always pull back all the husks and then stick it back in the pile. Mm-hmm. You can hold it in your hand and rub your thumb from the bottom all the way up to the top, and your thumb will tell you where there's a dip, where the kernels did not develop.
Oh, good.
And it's interesting because I show people that technique, and they find, because once you've opened it, right, then you've opened it, and then you're going to put it in a bag, or you're going to put it back on top for somebody else not to take. Mm-hmm. And that's just because they, you know, part of that didn't pollinate.
That's wonderful. Okay, so the perfect ear of corn is even. And even if it's not peeled back, you can tell by, mm-hmm. it should have an even shape, even form, the silkiness on top, the little threads there. Mm-hmm. What is that called again?
It's called silk.
Oh, it's called silk. It's actually really silky, right? It has the shine of
silk. They
make a
tea out of
silk.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You can harvest, you can rip it off and make a tea or whatever?
Yeah. No waste.
Tell us about it.
Just steep it the way you would steep any herbs or something. You can throw it in your hot water and let it, or put it in a mesh ball. Yeah, yeah. And then just strain it out. It's got a nice sweet flavor, corn flavor. It's like, you know, with pineapple, if you boil the rind of it, it tastes like pineapple tea, actually. It's the same thing with the corn silks.
That's wonderful. Wow. That's amazing. I had no idea.
You look at those silks, each one of those silks coming out of the top is attached to a kernel.
Oh, got it. That's yes, nice.
That's why it's so difficult to de-silk it.
Make sure, exactly. Make sure it's organic, of course, because if you, especially with the silk, that's an outside portion of the corn that might have been exposed to something you don't want in your diet. So that should be organic. When you take it home, do you take the leaves off? Do you take it out of the? What's the best way of storing it?
Yeah, I leave it in the husk. And
you can even barbecuing with the husk, right?
Well, what I do actually, if I know I'm not going to use it right away, I'm going to stick it in some water, let it hydrate, and then take it
flat or upright.
Yeah, flat in, and then let it drain a little bit, and then put it in the refrigerator. Now that's another way to cook it on the fire, like on a coals outside on a barbecue or on an open pit fire. You soak them, get them and then throw them right on the fire. themselves.
With
everything intact. Then it kind of steams because it's in that that wet environment.
Sita, what's your favorite way of dealing with corn?
Well, I mentioned before when I was talking about eating cherries on a camping trip, I do a lot of camping in the summer, and so we love to throw corn in the fire. But what we do is we'll pull the silk off of it. We'll actually pull the husk down, remove the silk, put the husk back up, mm-hmm. and then wrap it mm-hmm. and throw it in mm-hmm. the in the fire. And the flavor is amazing. And also, you don't have to worry about it being so hot and not being able to pull off all those individual silk strands. Mm-hmm. It gives it a nice smoky flavor. It's fabulous.
Maybe burns not quite as easily. Yes,
well,
Mark.
I think Earl uses that extra silk for floss afterwards. Well,
I was just saying, so that's why that's all, that's what that's all about. I tell you, my dentist loves me. That's all I know.
So say that again, Sita. I didn't quite catch
sure.
that. You pull it all back. You don't take it off, or you do?
I don't take it off. Actually, just pull husk back and leave it on.
Yeah.
Remove the silk. Put the husk back around
beautiful.
It. And then wrap it and throw it in the fire.
So then you're not exposing the kernels to the ashes.
Right.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like your cellophane around it, or your silver, whatever protection you would put, if you don't, or put it on a grill if you don't want to touch the ashes. But mm-hmm. in this case, you can actually really put it in the fire. Doesn't it burn right away?
I wrap it in foil.
Oh, you
when
do.
We go camping, yeah,
you
for
do.
Sure.
Oh, our associate producer, she just came on too on my microphone. She does that too.
Oh, yeah?
That's wonderful, Gina. Yes,
she loves
so
it.
So women like to. Keep that thing on and then put it back, put it in the fire. It adds flavor. It's all good.
And by taking a combination of all these things, if you put your corn in cold water for at least an hour before you put it in the fire, then what it does is you don't have to use that foil because the husk is wet enough that it does the steaming that Earl was talking about
really?
And Lasita's
yeah.
way and Gina's way as well. But if you don't want to use the foil on your food, you can do it that way. If you put the corn in on the fire with just the husk, it's good to have it a little bit above than just on the coals because it'll cook and steam there.
Yeah, it does burn mm-hmm. otherwise.
Then it doesn't
right?
burn.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep.
Good. We talked about how to pick it. We talked about several varieties of how to cook it, including doing a camping trip. How do you store it at home? Can you freeze corn, mm-hmm. Zita?
You know, I never get to that point. It's always consumed.
Oh, it's gone. Yeah, that's easy. Oh, you don't need to store it, right? Because you'll eat it.
Well, not only that, the super sweet varieties, they have incredible storage capability. I mean, honestly.
So you were saying you soak it, you put it in a Ziploc.
Yeah.
You put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
It doesn't become moldy after a while?
Yeah. So that's why you want it to drain. You know, I just hydrate it. And you don't have to soak it that long. Just hydrate it a
minute
bit.
Or two.
Yeah, and then put it in there. And if
stays fresh for what, a week?
I would, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The super sweet variety will really hold a long time, and you're not losing anything.
Great.
And now one way to tell if it is dried out, that the kernels themselves will become concave.
Yes.
They'll lose that.
The power a little
and
bit,
be,
you can tell.
It's very obvious, visibly obvious.
Sita, if you wanted to, just like with cherries, keep corn longer, do you take it off the husk?
Yes.
Do you chop it down?
Yeah. Well, I would take it off the husk.
And then freeze it?
And then freeze it, yeah. But what I would actually do is I would put it on a sheet tray before I put it in the freezer and not put it in clumps because then you're kind of getting these really tight frozen cubes.
Balls, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But if you put them in the freezer for a little bit on a tray first and they freeze before you put them in a bag together, they'll retain their shape a bit better.
Oh, that's so smart. So on a cookie sheet, whatever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
something smaller, but you kind of lay them out so they don't stick and
right.
to each other. Then you put them in a bag once they're frozen. They mm-hmm. no longer stick. Oh, brilliant.
And a technique to separate the kernels from themselves is once you cut it off the cob, you use the end of the cob to just separate them.
Oh.
That's smart.
Wonderful.
Yeah. There you go.
What's the nutritional benefit of corn other than unbelievably delicious?
Unbelievably delicious. Well, like you said, the fresher you get, the more it's like a vegetable with good sugars as opposed to being kind of on the starchier end. I really like eating corn raw or kind of on the rawer side. I mean, I know the grilling and the barbecuing is really fabulous.
But just touching it with heat.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like I went through a summer where I was a risotto fanatic and it was risotto every night and it was corn season. So I did champagne and sweet corn risotto and just after the risotto is done cooking, you throw the corn in just for a minute and it warms up and you turn it off and you serve it. And the contrast between that acidity of the champagne and the sweetness and crunch of the corn is really, really nice. Or adding it to quinoa. Mm-hmm. I really like it kind of just.
What are the vitamins that you can find in corn? Like what would it add to you? You were saying eating the rainbow perky yellow, dark yellow, gorgeously, perfectly ripe corn.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually can't answer that question. It's a good one. I'm sorry I don't have the info for it, but
yes, Mark.
Yeah, Mark's got it.
Well, vitamin C.
Which is kind of the standard, right, produce. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Yes, vitamin of C. Course, vitamin C.
B5, vitamin A, right, because of the yellow color.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And then folate, phosphorus, manganese. So it's, you know, pretty decent.
Yes.
You know, A's and C's in fresh produce, that's really the big thing you capture.
And I mean, there's no unhealthy produce anyway. It was just, it's just good to know, as, you know, eat the rainbow, whatever, A, C, B, nobody follows that diet of, oh, I didn't get enough B today, right?
Right.
If it's delicious
they don't.
And you enjoy it.
Nope.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
With us in the studio, Sita Bryan, chef and holistic nutritionist, joining us today, and also Earl Herrick, What's in Season, ongoing show here on An Organic Conversation every 4 weeks, how to pick it, how to store it, how to eat it. That was cherries and corn, and we are now almost out of time, but Earl, we have one little last treat, melons.
Yeah, and I think when you're talking about holiday, Memorial Day,
of course,
picnics,
yes.
I mean, watermelon right there.
Yes.
The trouble with the timing on that is watermelon is just coming in. Mexico is a big producer in the spring, and then you start, at least on the West Coast, start to getting them from the Coachella Valley, which is right at the bottom of California on Mexico.
We were saying it's all a little late this year, so...
A little late, so it's...
How do you know... That's, you know, we had a great show on pineapple. It's melon is one of the hardest to pick...
Yeah,
fruits for me, because I just don't know. People say smell the end. No, yeah. Smell the other side.
Well, honeydews. I think I can talk to the ripeness of honeydews. And with a honeydew, you want to pick it up and feel it and understand if it's tacky or not. In other words, it shouldn't be slippery like a rock. It should have a tackiness to it, a little gummy catch to
like
it.
Like waxy feel.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great indicator right there.
Then I think the webbing on melons should be even and nice.
Well, honeydew doesn't have webbing, but right. That would be more like a cantaloupe or
yes,
a galea or something like that.
Yep.
For the benefit of our listeners,
yes.
I think this deserves more than two minutes.
Yeah. We should.
So we'll
say,
do a show in June on more on melons,
lovely.
Or July on
perfect.
More
yes,
on
yes,
melons.
Yes, yes, yes. Great teaser. There's the whole world of melons and the nutritional. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Seaters. Well, interestingly enough, this was the topic I was the most excited about, because melons and culinary are so exciting.
Yes.
And also, they do have tons of nutritional value. When you look at watermelons in particular, they found that it has more lycopene than tomatoes. You know, we talk about lycopene in cooked tomatoes, but it actually is in more quantity in raw watermelons, and it's a fantastic antioxidant. So. Mm-hmm. I would love to.
And the
talk
culinary
about
world of what to do with that, salads, warm, cold.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's kind of traditional, but there's a lot more that you can get into. I mean, honeydew is really great. You know, there's the prosciutto and melon thing. So
yes,
you could do prosciutto and melon with a little bit of cilantro. I know it sounds kind of out there, but it's really good together.
Okay, so we will dive into that, promised right here in the next show in 4 weeks. What's in Season again here on An Organic Conversation? What are our Memorial Day plans, Earl? Do you have anything special planned for Monday or tomorrow,
Sunday? Well, there's actually a race going on. It's a local regional finals in the state of California. So the best track athletes are getting together. And I know a couple of them. I'm going to go out there and cheer them on.
Great. Sita.
I'll be eating. I eat
that seems
all
to
week.
Be your theme. So
all of my life is planned around food. Yeah, big,
little picnic or something.
Well, birthday plans with my sister, who's a similar food enthusiast, and then a barbecue on Monday. So
wonderful, Mark. What are you up to tomorrow?
I'll be at the Strawberry Music Festival.
Good for you. That's in the mountains there somewhere.
Yeah, up by Camp Mather, up by Yosemite. Yeah.
And what are you bringing? Sweet corn and melons?
I'm bringing cherries, and I'll bring some corn, and I'll bring my voice for the jams.
Great. All of our listeners, have a great, wonderful Memorial Day weekend, whatever your plans may be. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks again, Earl Herrick and Sita Bryan, for being part of the show today. Wonderful.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Gina Rustani.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, including some recipes, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you, so please send us your comments and questions to share at anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up next is Beth Greer and Your Supernatural Life, a great show right after this show, so please stay tuned. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then, and thanks again for being part of An Organic Conversation.
Met up with some friends outside of town. They were headed towards the lake. I hopped into the back of a jacked up Jeep, but the wind upon my face. We got to the spot and the sun was hot. Everybody was feeling fine. So we jumped on in for a midday swim. Then we lost all track of time. It was the perfect day. Working.